What's an experience that you had in Israel that would not happen anywhere else?
Hi, I'm Leah. I'm from Florida. So something really funny that happened to me this year is basically we went to meet up with these kids who are in a mechina, which is like Israeli gap year program. So we didn't know any of these kids. And one of my friends was introducing herself to them. And she said that she was from Miami. So they were like, oh, I have cousins in Miami. Like, do you know them? I don't know why they thought like we would know them, but she's like, oh no, like what's their last name? And they're like, Vanunu's their last name. For context, my last name is Vanunu. So she like grabs me and she's like, Leah, this Vanunu's here. And turns out that this random person's cousins happen to be my cousins, who like my family's close with. So yeah, just funny experience.
Hi, my name's Daniel Elek and I'm from London. So this was on Yom Ha'atzmaut, and I was, which is Israel's Independence Day, and I was actually with you, Molly. We had just come back from an amazing concert where we had an amazing time, and we got on the bus getting ready to go to Ben Yehuda, where all the parties were. And when we were on the bus, you know, we were sitting down on our phones until some boys started to sing. And they were singing so many songs that were joyful. And at first it was just them, but then everyone started to get involved. Strangers on the bus, me and Molly, other people from Kivun, our gap year program. And we all took out our phones, started videoing. It was an absolutely amazing time. All of us were celebrating this one occasion, Israel's birthday. And yeah, we just all had an amazing time, and it's something I'll never forget, because we all, despite not knowing each other, came together, sang, had loads of fun, and people were looking onto the bus thinking, what is going on? But then it was just incredible.
Hello, I'm Ilya. I'm from Germany. I rap under the name of 50 Shekel. And something that could happen only here is like the way you can just have friendships out of mamash nothing. I had a song, I'm still working on it. It's a song in all kinds of languages, like 7 languages: German, Russian, Spanish, French, English, and Hebrew. And Austrian German is different. So what I was lacking was a Hebrew verse, because I thought, okay, I need a Hebrew verse because I'm Jewish and like gotta represent. So I just went to Instagram and I typed in the hashtag Israeli rap, and found a guy who was very good. So I asked him, hey, can you drop a verse for my song? He's like, yeah, of course. Then he also asked, you want someone in English? Because I still didn't have anyone in English. He's like, so I'm like, yeah, sure. So then he introduced me to his friend. He dropped the verse, very good. I never met him before, but when I told him I'm in Israel, he's like, yeah, come home to me, come where my family lives, you know, I'll introduce you to everybody, I'll let you stay with me. He's never met me before, but we're like brothers. And now we're like best friends, and I love him, I'm gonna miss him like crazy after this year. So the way you just make friendships here, I love it.
Hey, my name is Josh Hutman from Montreal, Canada, and my story is actually just happened right now. Me and my friend Ilya were walking back from Asherad, and we see this old lady, and she says, hi, can you please help me with my bags? And then me and Ilya instantly were like, you know, of course we're going to help you. So me and Ilya help her bring her bags to her apartment, and she was so thankful that she gave us bags of treats and goodies, and, you know, it just goes to show how little gestures can have a big impact on people, and, you know, tokens of appreciation. You know, she was very appreciative, and, you know, yeah, that's it.
My name is Sami Shaya, and I am from London. I was on my way to shul one Friday night, and I got lost, so I decided to follow someone who looked quite religious to shul. I follow him, and we end up in this really small shul with just about 10 men. And it turned out it was this community minyan instead of the big shul minyan I had been intending to go to. It was a lovely Friday night davening, and the bit that really stuck with me was at the end, that every other person there offered me a place for dinner, offered me somewhere to stay, and the ability to just follow someone on a Friday night to a random shul is something that could only happen in Israel.
קוראים לי אורי צומי ואני מסנסנה, והסיפור שלי בכלל קורה בבולגריה. הלכתי לעשות סקי, וביקשתי ממישהו, באנגלית כמובן, לקחת תמונה לצלם אותנו, אותי ואת אחים שלי. And then he goes, אתם ישראלים? ואז אמרנו לו כן, ואז התחלנו לשיר, כאילו אמרנו, היי ישראל, ישראל, מאיפה אתה, מאיפה אתה? אז קיצור, הוא התחיל לשיר, הוא וחברים שלו, מי שמאמין לא מפחד, והצטרפו אלינו מלא אנשים מסביב, והיה שמח, עשינו שמח.
My name is Jake Rubin, I'm from New York City, and one of my favorite memories of being in Israel is on my second week here, when I got lost going home from the girls' dorms to the boys' dorms during Shabbat, and I hailed a taxi down, and I asked him for directions, and he drove me to my dorm and didn't charge me.
Hey, my name is Lechem. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and this is my story. I was in North Jerusalem on Purim night at my sister's up in Mala Daphna for a Purim Seuda, and at about 8 o'clock, I left her house to go back to the Chava, which is in like the middle of Jerusalem, South Jerusalem. And so I didn't want to take a bus because I thought that the streets would be blocked by people partying or whatever. So I start biking back, and I start biking back. And as I'm biking, I see a group of yeshiva kids, and one of them falls on the ground and collapses. And so I pull over because I did MATA training, so I thought I could help. I pull over, and I see if he's conscious, and he's not. So we do the routine checks. And then I check to see if he has a pulse or if he's breathing, which he isn't. And so I begin compressions and CPR. And then I do compressions for about a minute and a half or so. I yell at one kid to go find me a defibrillator, another kid to call MATA. And after about a minute and a half of compressions, the kid rolls over and starts throwing up. And Baruch Hashem, he takes a big inhale, breath in, so he was alive. And then the ambulance came and they took him away, and then I biked home.
Hi, my name is Molly Levy. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. One Shabbos, me and a few friends were driving up to Tzvat for Shabbos. We got stuck in traffic on the way, and we were just sitting in the middle of a tunnel in traffic for like 20 minutes. All of a sudden, I see people getting out of their cars and just lighting up cigarettes in the middle of the street, and I was like, oh my God, this is so Israel. This wouldn't happen anywhere else besides Israel.
Hi, my name is Ethan Davidovich. I'm from Tenafly, New Jersey, and I'm a participant on Kivun this year. My story is about my first shift in Magen David Adom, which is Israel's national ambulance service. We volunteered in a city, if you could call it that, called Be'er Sheva. It's in the southern part of Israel. And on my very first shift, I had the most Israeli experience I think I'll ever have. I met this guy named Avraham. He was the driver of the ambulance. And he was this Chabad guy, but he spoke good English. And he didn't act like a Chabad guy, he didn't look like a Chabad guy, but he acted like one. And he would always like try to fit in like little pieces of Torah into everything he was saying. And he would drive around the ambulance. And we had a few calls, you know, we'd take people to the hospital and stuff. And then for like 3 hours in the middle of the 8-hour shift, we had no calls. So what he starts doing with the ambulance is all of a sudden we stop somewhere. I don't know where we're going. We have no calls. But we stop somewhere on the side of the road, and a minute later, the back doors of the ambulance open, and this young girl gets in. She looks like she just came from school. And he starts talking to her, like chatting her up. And I soon come to realize that this is his daughter in the ambulance. Then we drive a little more, and his daughter gets out. I'm like, okay, so he's using the ambulance for a carpool now. And then we drive a little more, and then another guy gets in the ambulance. Back doors open again. And this is some other kid, with like a beard, a t-shirt, and pants on a random day in the middle of a Tuesday gets in the ambulance. This is the driver's son. He picks him up. They start talking about the day and everything. We go to a random, like, dead-end parking lot of like some crappy apartment building. There's one other person in the ambulance besides everyone I've mentioned so far. So me and her are in the ambulance now. And Avraham, the driver, and his son get out of the ambulance. His son is probably 16, but he looks like 22 because he's Israeli. And they get out of the ambulance, and they all of a sudden, you start seeing them going up and down stairs, moving furniture in the middle of them being on shift on an ambulance. And I have never been more confused in my entire life. And that's almost the end of the story. And it's not the end of the story because I ended up going to a Friday night dinner at Abraham's house with two of my friends. But yeah, great time, great experience.
Hi everyone, I'm Cheryl Lewis and I'm from Beit Shemesh. The story I'm going to be telling you today is actually not a story from Israel. I was just talking about it with Ori because we said like, oh, so many stuff happened to us in Israel because we live here. So there's like too many stories, I can't think of one. So I'm going to tell you one that happened out of Israel. A few years ago, we were on holiday in France, and we were in a center park, like literally in the middle of nowhere in France. And then we went to this water park, and when we were coming out of the water park, there's like these huge drying things that like a whole family can walk into and it dries you. Anyway, we heard some people, like we were lining up to go in it, and then suddenly we hear these people speaking in Hebrew, and we were like, what? Like in the middle of nowhere in the middle of France, we like find Israelis. So as Israelis, we start talking to them, and we ask them where they're from and stuff, and then they're like, oh yeah, we're from Beit Shemesh. And we were like, what? That's such a small world. We're also from Beit Shemesh. And turns out we like literally live a 5-minute drive from each other.
Hi, I'm Anna Novick and I'm from New York. And basically what happened is that I was on a 2-month like army program, basic training program. I did it with a bunch of people on Kivun. And what was happening was that we were all in our army uniforms and we were on our way back from base on an off weekend, and we were at the train station just trying to get home, and there's this elevator that you go in to get out, and it always gets very packed, and so we were all trying to get in, trying to fit just so that we could get home because we were all exhausted. And this sweet old Israeli lady was like, oh no, like you guys all go in, like you, she thought we were actual soldiers, so she was like, you do so much for this country and I can be here, I can live here knowing that my children are safe and that everything's gonna be okay. And it was just a really sweet and wholesome moment that I've never experienced before.
My name is Maya Hurwitz. I'm from London, and the story that I have is I was at a bus stop at literally 6:30 in the morning or something after a night out in Tel Aviv, and I had gotten to Netanya because we were going to my friend's house, but like there are no buses that run like properly overnight, so I hadn't slept. I was exhausted. Me and my friend were like a bit delirious, couldn't believe the sun was up, and we're waiting for the bus, and we see this guy who's really happy, and it turns out he's a Rav Cub checker, so they make sure you pay on the bus. And he's decided that he wakes up in this brilliant mood, and he's like asking my friend, why are you awake now, what are you guys doing? And my friend, who understands very very minimal Hebrew, goes, oh, Messi Barber Tel Aviv, which means like a party in Tel Aviv. And he goes, ooh, and gets all excited. But that's the only thing that she can understand from the conversation. And I had to translate this whole thing where this guy decides he's going to set her up with some random family member that he had. And he like ends up giving her a number. He's like, no, listen, guys. Okay, are you writing this down? My friend's like looking at me like, am I supposed to be writing this down? I'm like, yes, you're meant to be writing this down. She gets out her notes app and he's going like FS, Chamez, like whatever, 05, whatever. I think she only got 05 because she was laughing so hard. But anyway, he was telling us all about his family, about how he has such a diverse family. There's so many like loads of diverse colors that he's had in the family. One was French, and he was showing us his house. He said there was loads of space, he wanted us to make Aliyah and go to the army, and that we could come and stay. And he told us he had 3 floors, so there was plenty of space for us and the new shidduch that he had found for my friend.
My name is Ella Goldwater and I'm from London. A couple of months ago, I just finished doing a Mudder event, an event with Mug and David Adom, where I was trying to advocate the company to potential donors. And I was in my Mug and David Adom uniform and walking down the street in central Jerusalem when I hear someone screaming, Mudder, Mudder. And I thought, this can't be good, because when you're in uniform, you're technically on duty, so that people can call you. And if they call you over and there's a first aid emergency or anything and they need you, then you have to be the first responder. So I was inevitably quite stressed. I went up to him, and he comes up to me and he gives me a little package, and I was so curious, I was very confused, I thought that his friend was in trouble. And he hands me this package, and inside are some brownies, and I was dead confused, and translated the label afterwards and realized that he'd made them with a recipe from the D family, whose the two daughters and the mother died in a terrorist attack a couple of months ago. And this was just a couple of days afterwards on Yom HaZikaron, and he'd made these brownies, which were the family recipe, and were giving them out to people on the street. So what I thought was an emergency event turned into a really lovely gesture, and the brownies were delicious.
Hi, my name is Jacob Lestroff. I'm from Lund in Sweden. And my story is that on the Israel Independence Day on Yom HaTzmaut, we were all taking the bus back from the concert, and all of a sudden someone started to sing on a random song, and before I know it, we were all singing along to Adele's never have I found someone like you. And it was just funny because that would have that wouldn't like I've never seen that anywhere, And it's just amazing that that happened. We start singing songs.
Hi, I'm Naomi Ohana from Miami, Florida. My story is from my internship, from when I worked at Muslala, which is like a rooftop garden. And working with plants kind of gets you with some really interesting people. One of my coworkers, I think, was around 60, maybe 70. And since the age of 6, he had been hearing from God. He's a Christian man, like devout Catholic, or no, devout Christian, from Texas, and had a whole family there, had like a multi-million dollar business, and then was told by God to leave everything, sell it all, leave it all behind, and come to Israel, and like just basically he follows wherever God tells him to go. And he became friends with me. One day he just came up to me and told me that he noticed me. And the first time we met, the first few conversations we had were very sweet, because it was him saying that like he can tell that like I really like have love for my friends and everything, and that I was such a great soul, and it was very nice. But then he started telling me that God spoke to him about me, and he would give me advice and ask me about my problems and talk to me. And then it got a little problematic every now and then when he would tell me like, well, since God told him he had to leave his wife, he can't be with any women, and dressing the way I do might make him feel a certain way, and he didn't like that. So it was a little weird, but for the most part, he was a very sweet guy. And he, one thing he told me was that like he somehow made it to a Hamas in like Intel Center something. I don't remember what it was, but he managed to get it out alive because he has the power of God. And even though a lot of people say he's crazy and like he has some outlandish beliefs and views, which like to each their own, I guess, it was kind of beautiful seeing how like he really like loved God and like loved Israel. And even though he wasn't Jewish and he still isn't Jewish, like has no desire to convert, he really just listens to God. And like that's the beauty of Israel. I think no matter who you are, there's such a strong connection to like God. And yeah, it was just really interesting to see that. It was like a very pure form of love for God.
My name is Dina Kaufman. I'm from London. So my story is we went on a hiking trip in the lovely nature of Israel for about 8 hours. And we got on a coach there and back. And we were allowed to leave our belongings like on the coach. So when we came back, we got onto the coach. I'm like trying to find everything because the driver has moved all our bags to the front of the coach because there was another group that we weren't aware of that was using the coach during the day. I find all my clothes, I find my shoes, but where are my AirPods? My AirPods are missing. Like, we don't know where they are. And so I go onto my phone, I go on to find my iPhone where I can track my AirPods. And I'm like, okay, let's see where they are. They're currently 10 kilometers away, on the move, moving. I'm like, are you serious? Someone's taking my AirPods. So anyway, we're stressing out. We go home, and they're still moving. I've told my madrichim that I can't find them anywhere. My madrich said he's willing to drive me into the West Bank, which is not particularly safe, in order to go find them. We have about an hour and a half until we have to be at some sort of programming. And he says, okay, fine, like, I'm willing to take you. So we go into the car, we drive for about 45 minutes. We get out of the car onto this random street. My AirPods are somewhere within a 20-meter radius. We walk on the streets, we're, like, trying to figure out what house it is. And, like, 5 meters in front of us, we see a kid playing in the yard in front of us. He's playing basketball. He sees us, he walks out to the street, and he goes, what are you looking for? Like, can I help you? We responded saying we're on a tochnet, we were going hiking, we used a bus, we've lost AirPods. This kid does not say anything back, goes into his house, and like 3 minutes later comes back with my AirPods, hands them to me and says, have a good day. And we drove home.
Hi, my name is Oliver Zev. I'm from London, and my story goes as follows. So this year, I was lucky enough to go to an apartment I have in Netanya. A few times I'd sometimes go with friends for like an off weekend or for Shabbat, which was really nice. And we'd sit on the balcony, and across from the balcony would be this old man sometimes sitting with his wife sometimes just reading his book, sometimes just watching the ocean, like just drinking a hot drink or whatever. And we'd always like look at him and be like, oh, it'd be so nice to speak to him, to meet him. And that was the case. So one time I was actually by myself in the flat. I was just leaving the apartment. I was locking the door and I heard him leaving as well. So we both got in the lift together and we started having a chat. My mum had told me his name. So I kind of like could get the conversation going. So I was like, oh, you know, well, like, how are you? You know, how long have you been here? So we just can't continue chatting. You know, I thought it'd end when we got to the bottom of the lift as we left, but it didn't because we were both going to the shops. So we both carried on walking together, you know, just discussing things. Like I was saying what I was doing this year, like I was on a gap year, like the whole lot. And he was telling me like just about his life, like why he's now in Israel, like when he came here, like his family, other things like that, like if I'll see him around. So we carried on walking like for another 10-15 minutes. We got to the shops, and then as we entered the shops, you know, we kind of parted ways. I said goodbye, and so did he. And then yeah, I haven't seen him since, but hopefully sometime in the future I will.
Hello, my name is Eve Bolton. I'm from New York City. So the train station in Jerusalem, like to get down to it, you have to go through like a million escalators. It's like so underground, it takes a million years. And when people go out the train, it's like always really competitive to get to the elevators because like you can't fit that many people. So when people get off the train, like they always frantically run to get a spot. And in the beginning of the year, I didn't know this. And in Israel, there's like a lot of terror attacks from time to time. So I'm like sitting, I'm chilling on the train, and then I get off and people start running. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm gonna die. And I start like, I have like a moment, I'm like, do I throw my bag? Like, do I get rid of my bag? Like, I'm gonna die, a terrorist is gonna kill me. I'm like pushing people on the escalator and I'm like pretty big, so I'm like close to knocking people over. They're like giving me looks, they're like screaming at me in Hebrew. I'm like, slicha, slicha, excuse me, please. And then I get to the elevator and I'm like panting. And I realized, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm an idiot. People were just running for the elevators, but I'm in the elevator, so yeah.
Shalom, ma shlomchem, ani Binyamin, Binyamin Pfeiffer, me'efrat. אני מדבר על החוויה שלי כישראלי וכחייל, על ההשפעות שלהם, על החברה שלנו. אני התגייסתי לצבא כשהייתי בן 19, התגייסתי לגרעין נחל, עשיתי שנתיים שירות קרבי, ושנה עבדתי עם נוער כחייל. במהלך השירות, אתה הרבה פעמים עומד בשמירות, בחוץ, בקור, בגשם, מנסה להגן על מה שצריך והמשימות שלך, ומשהו ממש מיוחד שניגע בו בעוד כמה סיטואציות, משהו מאוד מיוחד בחברה הישראלית שלנו, זה שלא משנה באיזה מקום שלא תהיה, כמעט תמיד יגיע מישהו וישאל אם אתה בסדר, אם אתה צריך אוכל, משהו חם. היינו בשמירה בקור אימים בחוץ, ממש 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 קר, ומשפחה הגיעה עם מרק והביא לנו אוכל, ופשוט זה מחמם את הלב להרגיש את זה מכל מקום אפשרי, אם זה בימי שישי שאנשים באים ומביאים לך בורקסים ורוגלחים וכל הדברים האלה. ומצד השני, כשאני אזרח, אז נגיד ביום העצמאות אנחנו עושים מנגל לאלפי אלפי חיילים כל היום, יום שלם של רק לתת ולתת ולתת, ואני מרגיש שזה משהו שמאוד קורה בחברה הישראלית, שכשיש משהו שגדול, אז עובדים כולם בשבילו ביחד. אם זה כשיש אירוע קשה במדינה, אז כולם עוברים את הקושי ביחד, ואם זה במשהו טוב, אז כולם עוברים אותו ביחד. זה העשייה בשביל כולם, זה ההרגשה שאתה לא לבד, שתמיד יש לך מישהו אחר להישען עליו, שזה הרגשה שלא נראה לי יש בשום מקום אחר, הרגשה שאתה לא לבד ושיש לך מישהו עם אותו אידיאל, עם אותו רצונות שאתה יכול להישען עליו. כן, שלי זה ההרגשה הכי טובה שאני יכול לקבל, לדעת שאני לא לבד אף פעם.
My name is Jake Wolf, I'm from White Plains, New York, and this is my rock be'eretz Israel story. So it was a day we were doing Mada, so we were stationed in Be'er Sheva at the time, and I woke up to a text from my mom that told me that, you know, one of her close friends' fathers had passed away very suddenly. And the funeral was in Modine and she couldn't make it, so she asked me to go in her stead. So I hopped in a taxi and I got there as fast as I could. I got there as the funeral was starting. And, you know, it was a very sad, very tragic funeral. But after it was over, I kind of didn't really plan how to get back to Be'er Sheva, and I looked on MoveIt. I didn't know anyone at the funeral either, so I couldn't really ask them for a ride. So I looked on MoveIt, and it told me that I basically had to walk from the cemetery 45 minutes to get this bus, to get on this other bus to go back to Be'er Sheva. So I'm like, you know, all right, that's how I have to get back. Then that's how I'll get back. And so I'm doing this walk, it's dark out, there's no one around, the cemetery is really in the middle of nowhere, and a police car pulls up next to me, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm about to get in trouble, and I'm not supposed to be walking here, blah blah. And he asked me, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just walking to the bus. And he's like, no, you can't walk to the bus, it's too far. So he was like, come in. I was like, come in? He's like, yeah, just don't tell anyone. So I get in this guy's car, and he starts giving me a ride to the bus stop. And while I'm talking with him, and he tells me how he went from the army to the police, and it was just nothing like that would ever happen in America. No police officer would ever pick you up. So that's really Rock Be'eretz Yisrael.
קוראים לי אליס קייסט, אני גר במעלה גלבוע, בצפון הארץ. הסיפור שאני רוצה לספר על, בעצם קרה בצוק איתן ב-2014. כידוע, מדינת ישראל יצאה למלחמה ארוכה, קשוחה, כמעט חודשיים שהיינו על גבול עזה, בתוך עזה. ובאמת בסיפור, בכלל עם כל המבצע של שובו אחים לפני עם שלושת הנערים, מדינת ישראל הייתה באיזשהו מקום, אני חושב, ראו את הפנים היפות של מדינת ישראל. ומכל הסיפורים, מכל הדברים המדהימים שקרו, באמת נראה לי אפשר לכתוב ספרים על כל מה שקרה שם. אבל אני חושב שהיה בעצם סיפור אחד, רגע אחד, שנחקק אצלי, ואני ממש זוכר אותו כאילו שזה קרה אתמול. ישבנו ביד מרדכי, שזה בעצם מאוד קרוב לגבול עזה, והיינו ככה בין משמרות, קצת במנוחה, ברגיעה. כמובן שתוך כדי שומעים את התותחים ושומעים את המטוסים של צהל, מפציצים, אז באמת יש אווירה של מלחמה וצבע אדום כל שנייה. ופתאום מגיע איזה רכב, ככה רכב מפואר, אני חושב מרצדס ככה חדשה, מגיע לתוך יד מרדכי, מגיע ממש איפה שישבנו, ויוצא מתוכו בן אדם, בחור ש... כאילו בחור נראה ישראלי, ככה די מחויית, נראה טוב, ונראה שהוא איזה הייטקיסט כזה, לא יודע. והוא ככה פונה לאחד החיילים, מדבר איתו, ואני רואה שהוא מוציא פנקס ורושם. אמרתי, אוקיי, מעניין. ואז אני רואה שהוא פונה לכל אחד, ומדבר איתו ורושם משהו. ואז הוא הגיע אליי, הוא שואל אותי, תגיד לי, מה אתה אוהב לאכול? אמרתי לו, לא יודע, אומר לי, אתה רעב? אמרתי לו, אולי קצת. אז הוא אומר לי, בא לך שווארמה? אמרתי לו, סבבה. אומר לי, מה אתה אוהב לשתות? קולה? אמרתי לו, סבבה. שואל אותי, ומה חסר לך, גרביים? אמרתי לו, לא, אבל אם אני אקנה לך גרביים, אתה... אוקיי, סבבה. קיצור, פתאום אני מבין שהבחור עושה רשימת מכולת. טוב. אחרי שעתיים, שלוש, חוזר, הרכב מפוצץ מכל טוב, עם פשוט כל הדברים שאנשים ביקשו. כאילו, לא מכירים אותו, אף אחד לא יודע מי זה. בא, הוריד הכל, הכל עם שמות של כל אחד, סקיות עם שמות של כל אחד, ונסע הביתה. לא ביקש תמונה, לא תודה, לא שום דבר אחר. ואני חושב שהרגע הזה, שפתאום אתה מבין שמישהו שאתה לא מכיר, שמגיע, מסכן את עצמו באמצע מלחמה, מגיע ליד מרדכי, תוך כדי אזעקות, תוך כדי מלחמה, ופשוט, ולא רק שהוא מביא תרומות, אלא ממש רוצה לדעת מה כל בן אדם רוצה. הוא ממש מביא את, כאילו, רוצה לעשות את המעבר של החסד, רק בגלל שאתה חלק מעם ישראל, ממש אח בדם. וזה היה באמת סיפור שמאוד מאוד רגש אותי.
אז קוראים לי אביה רובין, ואני מישראל, והסיפור שאני עומדת לספר קשור ללימודים שלי באוניברסיטה. אז בעצם האוניברסיטה שלי הייתה באיזושהי עיר, ו... אני הייתי גרה כזה לא בתוך העיר עצמה, אלא ביישוב שכזה נמצא לא רחוק, נגיד בערך 10 דקות נסיעה, משהו כזה. והקטע באזור הזה בארץ זה שכאילו אין באמת תחבץ, יש כזה רק פעם בכמה שעות, וכאילו אם אתה צריך להגיע נגיד בזמן לשיעור וזה, אין לך כל כך איך להסתמך על תחבץ. ומה שבעיניי מדהים באזור הזה, אבל בישראל בכלל, זה שאשכרה במשך כאילו כל הלימודים שלי באוניברסיטה, כל בוקר כדי להגיע לשיעור בזמן, הייתי פשוט תופסת רמפים, ומה שבעיניי מדהים בזה, זה שזה אף פעם לא אנשים שאתה מכיר או יודע מי הם, כמובן שתמיד כזה עושה את זה בזהירות, וכזה תופס רק במקומות שכזה מותר לתפוס בהם, אבל העובדה שאתה פשוט יכול לסמוך על אנשים שיביאו אותך לאן שאתה צריך כזה, וגם מה שבעיניי מטורף זה שאף פעם לא מבקשים או אין שום ציפייה שאני אביא להם משהו בחזרה על הטובה שהם עושים לי, וזה בעיניי משהו ממש מיוחד לישראל. אני מניחה שאולי זה קורה בעוד מקומות בעולם, אני לא יודעת, אבל בעיניי זה ממש מדהים. זהו.
Hi, I'm Zahava Haas from Teaneck, New Jersey. No, I'm from London. And my funny story that just would not happen anywhere else in the world was that I think on the third day of Kivun, we were going on a zip line, the longest one in Israel. And rather than sort of saying, okay, one person should go at this time, two people should go at this time, they put a scale by the zip line and made everyone weigh themselves and then looked at your weight and were like, basically, yeah, you're too fat to go by yourself, or you have to have another person. So only in Israel, because I guess body dysphoria doesn't exist there.